and man, Word of God speak, that's our prayer. And thinking about the conclusion of that song, sometimes we find ourselves at a loss for words, and it is okay because we want the Word of God to speak. It's so good to have you here and to see you this morning. It's so good to see this group over here. This is some of Kenny Lopez's family, Debbie's parents, and Debbie's aunt and uncle. And have moved to Huntsville, and some that her aunt and uncle are just moving from Nashville to Huntsville to slow down a little bit. So we're so thankful that y'all are here to worship with us this morning. And I want to say this, and Brother Kenny's parents. That's right, Kenny. Good to see you all here with us this morning. I want to say this, that we are thankful for Brother Kenny and Debbie and the girls. And this is a kind of a special emphasis on a deacon ordination. And so we're gonna look at a text, and then we're going to look Acts chapter 6, if you want to be turning. And then we're gonna have a special time of commitment and laying on of hands, and commission Brother Kenny as a deacon to serve our church and to be a supporter for me and to be a witness to the world. That's, if you notice, just a few years ago, we're thankful. In the past several years, we've been able to ordain two different deacons. I see Brother Robert sitting back there, and Brother Tim Womack I saw walk through a while ago, and the Perry is back in the back. And in the past 3 or 4 years, we've been able to ordain two new deacons. And so we're thankful for just leadership, fresh leadership that the Lord's bringing to our church and our church family. So if you would turn with me to Acts chapter 6. And I just entitled it, Seven Chosen to Serve. Seven Chosen to Serve. Many of people and churches believe this is kind of the passage that really gives warrant and came down the road as the passage that kind of moved churches to appoint deacons and elders. And it very well could be. At the time of this writing right here, as Luke writes, it's the special emphasis on churches, a special emphasis on serving to meet a need, to accomplish a solution. And if you notice, they didn't go through a huge ordeal to point blame and have a huge committee form to find out all the problems. They simply prayed and asked the Lord for a solution. The Lord gave them a solution, and they saw pretty quick results. Stand with me, and we'll read these seven verses together. Seven chosen to serve. The emphasis this morning is going to be on service. It says, now in these days, when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. And the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, it's not right that we should give up preaching the Word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you seven men and of good repute, full of spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the Word. And what they said pleased the whole gathering, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. These they set before the apostles, and they prayed and laid their hands on them. And it says, and the word of God continued to increase, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. Let's pray. Father, we pray that your word will speak and that you would draw us nearer, 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 closer, Lord, to thee. Lord, we pray that you would have thine own way, and we will glorify the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We're thankful for those songs and the messages they teach us about you and your nature and your character and your call for us to be obedient to you, Lord. Teach us and draw us close to you. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. No, in the past, we've simply looked at three points to this kind of, when we have a deacon ordination sermon, that really helps me in just framing it simple. That, you know, three main tasks of a deacon, just keeping as practical as I know how to keep it, is support to the minister, a servant to the church, and a witness to the world. And that's simple. It's simple. We can all wrap our arms around that. I tell you, and just in the context of that, and getting back into the text in just a minute, but practically speaking, Brother Kenny and Debbie, man, your leadership and your service to this church and just support of the different ministries and the call of God and the vision of making disciples, it is such a blessing to have men. You know, the early church, it says they were unified in one heart and one purpose. And I think about a deacon family and a deacon body. And I think about men that truly have a desire to glorify God, that truly have a desire to make disciples. And in doing that, they simply want to support the pastor, to support the leadership of the church, the youth pastor, the ones that are really, that I wake up in the day in the mornings, and my first prayer and the thinking is, Lord, help me to be a good leader. Help me to know how to dispense and to teach and to preach your word effectively. Help me to rely on your spirit to guide me in my decision making, and help me to know the people to call today and to share a word with and to encourage in the faith. And I simply pray that even though I get distracted, I'm human, I battle the flesh, and I lose focus at times, but that is my desire, is to preach and to teach the word and to minister to the saints and to help equip the saints for ministry. And that is my main goal. And it's somewhat as simple. We don't have apostles now like we did in the early church. This was a special time and season to where the apostles that had seen the risen Christ, these 12 were commissioned, and they were doing miracles, signs, and wonders, and God was authenticating His power and His authority through them, and the church was growing in number. Acts chapter 2 at Pentecost, and in Acts chapter 4 it says they were united in heart and mind and purpose, and they were growing, and it was a wonderful season of ministry in the life of the church, and it was on the wings of prayer through Pentecost as those 120 disciples were to wait, those followers of Jesus were to wait on the anointing of God, and then the Apostle Peter would preach, and there would be a massive number of souls, 5,000 in number, that would come to faith in the Lord Jesus. Much was going on around Jerusalem this time. The saints were gathering and there was much growth. And I want to tell you that as I move back to what we were talking about, the focus needed to be the preaching of the word and prayer. Well, like any good church, we can lose focus. We can lose focus on what is the main thing needs to be the main thing, right? Many churches lose this focus. Many churches move into events and activities and daycares and child events and fall festivals. And with that, it's not bad things, but what happens is the old proverbial tail's wagging the dog. We're being driven by the wrong spirit and leading and guidance. And so we have to, being central of our DNA and who we are, the Word of God being proclaimed, and us being a people of prayer has to be our main focus. And me as a spiritual leader, of a preacher of the gospel, that should be what drives me. And it's the support of our deacons that allows me to do this. And I want to say this, and I want to brag on our ladies, because I was just thinking, not only do when I get ready to have a baptism, y'all, I'm a young minister. And so some things that are old hat to a lot of ministers are not old hat to me. I still have to go to, and I hope I'll always be like this, but I still have to think about formalities and things that we go through, even things like the Lord's Supper and the ordinances of baptism and things like deacon ordination. You know, if you have a seasoned pastor that's been preaching for 30, 40 years, these are things that he's done them. He knows how to do them. I have to still pray through them and walk through them and be guided through the Scriptures, and I hope we all will be. And so when we have a baptism, it helps me to be able to call Brother Bob and say, Bob, we got a baptism. Because you know what Brother Stephen's doing? He's studying about baptism. He's studying about how to lead the church in the ordinance of baptism. And so when I can call Brother Bob and say, Bob, man, I know I could do this, but it sure helps me. When I call Miss Bonnie and say, Miss Bonnie, will you check and make sure we got towels and robes? You know what? I can go back to focusing on the things I probably ought to be spending my time and energy in. You know, we're feeding the football team this coming Monday, and we're feeding 65 middle schoolers. That's a big chunk of people. Well, you know what? You know, Miss Sylvia, and this is a prophet of a deaconess in a sense. We've got ladies that serve with the spirit of deacons, though they might not be appointed as a certain a committee that leads our church. These ladies have the spirit of deacons in their service to the church. You know that all Sylvia's asked me to do? Brother Stephen, show up if you want to. And I thank you for that, Sylvia. Sometimes I'm a little offended because I want to do more, but my time and energy needs to be in preaching and teaching. And so you ladies, when you do these ministries, thank you for including me. Thank you for keeping me updated when we do the gift baskets and when you're providing things and when you're doing things, because I want to help and I'm your biggest fan. I want to cast the vision to the church and I want to come along beside you. I even wanted to send my wife to, and me and Anna go shopping and fill up a bag to send to needy families throughout our community. I want to be involved. But man, when you guys are serving and doing the things that the Lord's laid on your heart, it allows me and frees me up to just think and to pray and to preach. And so thank you for the things you do. One of the first things we think and look at, Brother Kenny, is just you're a supporter of mine, man. Brother Tim Womack back there, Brother Robert, our two newest deacons, and even Vaughn and Mike and Don, and I could go on and on. I love you guys. I see you as servants along beside me, but I see you also as spiritual leaders of this church. And there is the way our church polity is set up, you are spiritual leaders. And you're to be looked at as spiritual leaders. In the decision makings, when we meet today, when we think about things like church playgrounds and looking at who God's going to bring to serve as our new youth pastor, these things that our deacons will think about and look at and pray over. And so you're leaders in our church, but it starts with hands of service. It starts with ministry. Let's look back here at the text, because I don't want to get, even though this shapes me, I want us the text to kind of come alive to us right here. So the first thing was just being a support. These deacons, these were problems. What happens is in this time of growth and increasing in number, there was a complaint that arose by the Hellenists. These were the Jews that were coming from out of the diaspora. They were Greek-speaking Jews. So there were many Jews that were more related to the area of Rome, and they spoke Greek. And then there were native Jews from Palestine and Jerusalem and Judea here that were more probably trained and schooled in the law. But both of these different Jews, they were all Jews, and they both had high regard for the things of God. But like in a lot of churches, there were little factions that were starting to happen. And so the problem was is that maybe there was a little bit of a complaint. It may have had some basis to it. It may not. But needless to say, there was a group of widows. And by the way, that was said that usually the men would precede the ladies in death. And a lot of times the women would move into Jerusalem and towards the end of their life. And it was just, it was a great time. There was a lot of people moving into Jerusalem. 15 years later, there would be a huge famine in Jerusalem. We've been preaching about this in 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. And Paul would go out throughout all the churches of Asia and Macedonia and Thessalonica, and he would help in his second missionary visit trying to raise support because the church of Antioch had called for that support. And they would go to Jerusalem to help this massive number of people that were going through a great time of poverty and persecution. But in this time, it's growth and there's excitement. But with that came a lot of needs. Now, there had already been some internal conflict that was developing in the church. We saw that in Acts chapter 4 with Ananias and Sapphira. And God dealt with that swiftly and quickly. We talked a little bit about the last few weeks about church discipline and the purity of the church and God's holiness. And one of the things that we won't dwell on here today a lot, Brother Kenny, but in qualifications, you know, and we didn't talk a lot about this because Brother Kenny's been leading our Sunday school class, and we see these qualifications in Brother Kenny, but some of the things that we talked about were just, you know, if you remember that it was dignified, he was must be proven, he was found blameless, not be double-tongued, not be given to much wine, not greedy for dishonest gain. There were certain moral qualifications that we see as someone who is, we're going to appoint as deacon. But there's spiritual qualifications too. Someone that believes in the deity of Christ and the holiness of God and also the purity of the church, and someone who believes in the infallible Word of God and how it's sufficient for faith and practice and that honors God's Word and studies God's Word and teaches God's Word. And so these were some of the doctrinal things that we saw in Brother Kenny. And some of the moral qualities and being blameless and dignified, not given to much wine, and the husband of one wife, and knows how to manage his household well. We looked at these type things. And these are very, very important because when needs arise, these type qualified, able people of full of the Spirit, and I love, and this is actually says it right here. It says that when they appoint these deacons, or we call them deacons, but they were men to serve, and they would later be called in the office of deacon. They were men of full of faith. They were men full of the Holy Spirit. There were men that were led by God's Spirit. Why? Because we need people that look for solutions and not problems. We need people that are serving as deacon that are not going to be double-tongued, that are not going to be slanderers or full of gossip, that don't like to keep the fire brewing. Because we got enough people in our churches and around our community that like to keep the fire going. Whether that's through subtleties, whether that's through social media, whether that's through blameless just being two-faced with people. But we have a lot of that going on, and so we see that people that are qualified and able are able to look for solutions and not dwell on problems. Look at the text there. It says, this problem arose that the widows of the Hebrew widows were being overlooked. Excuse me, the Hellenistic widows were being overlooked and neglected in the daily distribution. Now look at verse 2. And the 12, these apostles, summoned the full measured number of the disciples and said, it's not right that we should give up preaching the Word of God to serve tables. And that serve tables is not just, it's a management issue. It's even has to do with money. So it's not just waiting on tables. It's actually handling the funds, distributing. You know, this would be something that they would do probably once a day and also once a week. And then once a day, it would be like typical things like staples of food administered and distributed to the widows. And then once a week, it would even be things like food. I mean, things like clothes and things, a little bit more elaborate in one of the weekly distributions. But evidently, there was some sort of structure and organization to this. And I was even thinking about this in the life of the church. Because some people are like, oh, I don't know why we do the things we do, and I don't know why we are so structured and so organized. Well, there was structure and organization in the early church. They had a very appropriate way about how they went distributing and organizing and planning and preparation. And without rules, there's chaos. Y'all have heard that, right? There's disorder. There's confusion. There's strife. You know, we started our Teen Kid ministry back. And, you know, we deliberately didn't go out and try to reach the masses and go out to the schools and send out 300 folders, send 300 postcards. Because what we want to do is we want to be prepared for growth. If we have 75, 80 kids come in the doors and we're not prepared for them, guess what? We've got a big old mess on our hands. But if we start with 20 to 25 kids and we reach out to their children and we get the growth we need and the leader, God brings the leadership that we need to help teach and make disciples among, with our students, then we're getting prepared as God sends the people. There's got to be structure. There's got to be order. Now, a lot of churches just say, bring the masses and let's check the boxes and let's send our numbers into the convention and let's look good for notoriety and for our community talk, whatever reason that might be. But there's order and structure within the church, and you see it right here. There was a need. The disciples, the apostles, the 12 of them meet together. They bring in all of the followers of Jesus, and they said, this is the problem. We want to meet the need. First off, our focus is to preach the Word. And our focus is to be about prayer. We want you to make a list. Look for 7 men that are qualified, able, full of the Spirit. Send them to us. Now, this is not congregational led. Because it says so that we may appoint. So ultimately, the apostles are going to appoint, but they wanted to bring the congregation in. It made me think about kind of the way we do our deacon ordination in the sense of we lean on our congregation. We have a nominating process. We ask for those that we believe that you see are living the way that 1 Timothy 3 says, that have the qualifications that 1 Timothy 3 says. And then we look and we do a process to where we go and vet these individuals. Our leadership does. We ask them. We examine, we pray, and then there's a sense to where we bring them before the church and we have a list of 5 to 6 and we vote, praying that God would be wrapped up in every process of it. We saw the need, we saw the wisdom of the disciples here, of the apostles. It says, and they summoned the full group. It's not right for us to give up preaching of the Word and to serve tables. It says, therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute. Now look, here's the qualifications. A good reputation, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the Word. So they've already said, there it goes, prayer and ministry of the Word. We've already said, our focus is this, and we're going to continue our focus. Let me tell you, there's power here. This is why we pray, Word of God, speak. This is why we preach. This is why we teach. And one of the things I saw, it was written down, this pastor and teacher and leader, one of his parishioners came to him and says, "Oh, brother, I would give anything to be able to teach the Word of God like you teach it." And this individual looked at him and he said, "Good, because that's what it would take. It takes you giving up everything to be able to preach and teach the Word of God that He wants us to be able to preach and teach the Word of God like this." So many people, as though it was written in the locker room, so many people want to go to heaven, but they don't want to die. God calls us to certain leadership positions and certain ministry vocations, and that really does take all of our energy and time and effort is the number one focus. And to do it well and effectively in preaching the Word and leading in ministry of prayer, it really does take about everything we have. And this was a good reminder for me. It's, you know, I have hobbies and I have focuses and I have things that I like to do and places I like to go. But I have to keep them in check and I have to pray every day, "God, help me to remain focused to preaching and prayer, because this is what you've called me to." Brother Kenny, this is for you and Debbie, this is a certain privilege, but it's a ministry and position of service. It's a high calling in that there is a responsibility. There is a dependence on you and your prayer and your focus and your leadership that the church needs and desires from you. And to do it well, it takes time and energy. But the church is supporting you and praying for you and commits to help you in that endeavor. And we'll talk a little bit more about that in a second. So the first thing, and going back to this, the three things that helps me guide this in this is being support to the pastor. And in some things I wrote down is you're a huge help and partner, a team. You help with the vision. You help with accountability and keep me in the right focus. You're helping with a man full of wisdom. And so there's wisdom in our deacons. There's proper focus. You help us keep us the main thing, the main thing. And if you'll see here that Satan seek to creep in this problem. And if you notice, the deacon, these apostles didn't go around and say, "Let's form a committee." They didn't go around and start trying to find out where the problems were. They said, "Let's form a solution and let's move quick and swiftly to conquer our enemy." Satan works to come in the church, to form schemes, to form plans. This was a church that could have easily divided, could have easily split. But Satan's scheme failed because of good leadership. Satan's scheme failed because of the apostles knowing that the main thing needed to be the main thing, and we needed quick, able-bodied men with a good reputation of full of the Spirit to lead out in these daily activities that were a necessity for the life of the church. There are things we do that are very, very practical and functional to giving God glory, to doing the ministry we're called to do. Our deacons do have things that have to do with our facilities. This morning, I'm in there trying to visit. We're visiting with Miss Judy and Miss Luana and Chris. I see somebody fooling with the doorknob, and I thought, well, one of the children is trying to get in to report the numbers to Sunday school, and so I'm trying to help him in. I look out, and we got a grown man that can't get in the office, Brother Chris out there. He can't get in. Well, it turns out we thought we were locked in, and Miss Luana was about to have a panic attack. She's done got up from her chair, and she's come around there. I thought she was fixed to try to roll something through the door and bang it open. I wasn't sure what she was about to do. But, Brother Bob, we have doorknobs go out all the time, don't we? Look in the youth pastor's office. We have things dysfunction all the time. And deacons help with the building and grounds and just keeping up the facilities. Brother Stephen don't know how to do much. I'm sorry, deacons. I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm going to pick up the phone. Bob says he's getting old and he don't need to be doing it as much. So, Bob, I'm going to try to let you off the hook. I'm going to call somebody else. But somebody's going to get a call. And I'm going to tell you, it's broke. It needs some attention. All right? Brother Stephen don't know how to fix it. My dad was a builder, could fix anything, but it was easier for him to say, "Y'all go play ball, and I'll do it myself." It's sad. And you older generation, just picking on you a little bit, y'all all complain about us. We don't know how to do anything. Well, it's because you didn't teach us. That's all I'm going to say about that. You're part of the problem. But now, us younger guys, which I kind of miss this too, I'm kind of in the middle, but the younger kids now, they just pull up YouTube and they watch a video and they figure out how to do it.
Of course, we don't do it up to y'all's standards because you guys have done it the same way for 50 years, and we've got these new cutting-edge ways to do it that YouTube guides us through that it's not quite as good as the way you do it. But we need people to help keep the focus of the Word and the ministry and you guys serving the church. And that moves to the next point. You're a great support to me when I can call you and you're a helper. But you're a huge, huge help to the church when you serve the church. When you help take care of our building and our grounds. When you help make decisions about the playground and activities. I noticed Brother Hal's not here with us this morning. But when we can turn Hal loose with stuff like lawyers and deeds and church properties, it's a huge focus for me. It helps me focus because I don't want to do that, first off. And you don't want me to do that because I'll come here to preach on Sunday morning and y'all say, what has Stephen been doing all week? Something I probably didn't need to be doing. You're such a help to me, but you're huge. You're a servant. We're to be servants to the church. And this word servant, it kind of is interesting. The Greek verb diakoneo, from which the noun deacon comes from, meant to serve. We talked about this. The word literally meant through dust. And even though the origin of the word is a little bit unknown, the concept of raising dust suggests a servant hastening to serve or wait on his master. The deacon is a servant. He will do whatever needs to be done. You know, some of the things in just thinking about this text, in this word servant, there were some things I listed. And I don't always look for alliteration, but sometimes alliteration starts to find me and it helps for me to choose and to think about words that maybe help us in our delivery and help you even think about servant and understanding and meaning it and remembering it. Serving magnifies love. Remember what Jesus says, that greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. John 15:13. Serving Christ and serving His church really exemplifies the love of Jesus, our model servant. And we'll mention Philippians 2 in just a minute. Serving ministers unity. And the minister, this was the only word out of all the ones I stretched for. But serving ministers unity, because what we're doing here is in these people serving this congregation and serving this church, what happened was is you finish the text and it says this. It says, and the word of God continued to increase and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. And so when it says that there's a church unified in one heart, one mind, and one purpose, there was a unity among the people of God. Everything was grounded on the resurrection of Jesus and the powerful Word of God that was going forth to make disciples and bring people to faith in Christ. And so there was where the unity was. And in serving, it kept the main thing the main thing. In meeting needs, it keeps the focus on the Word of God and the transformation of people's hearts and lives. Thirdly, serving models Christ. Philippians 2:3-8, it says, do nothing from rivalry or selfish ambition, but in humility consider others more important than yourselves. Y'all remember this verse in Philippians 2? It goes on to say, it says, count others more significant than yourselves, to let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interest of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human nature, he humbled himself, became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Our model servant was Jesus, and serving and giving and honoring others above ourselves, loving people, God and our neighbor as ourselves, and serving them helps us look most like Christ. It validates our faith and it models the Lord Jesus. Serving motivates others. Nothing lights my fire more than to see people serving Christ. You know, Romans 12:3, it talks about all of us having different gifts. And we, according to the measure of faith, we've been given different gifts. And so in serving, it all looks different. Our serving looks different in how we do it. Even in our deacon body, there's going to be people that have certain gifts that are going to be stronger in areas than others. In Romans 3, I want to read this to you.
Romans 12, excuse me, verse 3. It says, "For by grace you've been for by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body." There's the unity I was talking about. "In Christ, and individually members one of another, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. Let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. If serving, in our serving. The one who teaches, in his teaching. The one who exhorts, in exhortation. The one who contributes, in generosity. The one who leads, with zeal. The one who does acts of mercy, with cheerfulness." Let us be a church that serves one another. Deacons, Brother Kenny, Debbie, y'all are model servants. Y'all are the example, the exemplary ones. The one who epitomizes the selfless service of Christ in caring for our congregation. One of the beautiful pictures of that is our church family ministry plan, and that we've already talked to Brother Kenny about, many of you know about, and just picking up the phone and caring about people and sending cards and caring for their needs and ministering and keeping me abreast of what's happening in their lives so I know who to visit, know who to pray for, know who to go check on. We work together as a team and as a family in meeting needs. And that deacon ministry family plan is one of the best ways to serve our church. Let us do it in proportion to our faith. As God has given us gifts, let us serve one another. Serving motivates others. It inspires, it encourages, it calls the brother to lead beside you and work beside you. Man, I'm getting a little long-winded. I knew I had a lot up here, so I'm fixed to try to move toward the end. But serving makes the mission clear. You know, when people are serving correctly, like we've already talked about this, it helps us keep focus. Now, churches can get caught up serving for the wrong reasons. And nothing inspires me more than people serving Christ for His glory and for His honor with a rightful heart. But nothing discourages me more when people show up and say, "Where is everybody? Why aren't they here? What are they doing?" I mean, yeah, I'm like everybody else. I'm sure I'll look around and say, "Man, I wish we had more people united in this service project." But at the same time, I'm not serving based on what other people are doing. But it does excite me. It does motivate me. And it inspires you. It excites you. So when people see our deacons serving, it helps our church get busy serving. You ladies, when they hear that you're doing the things you're doing, people want to get involved with you. That's why I'm saying never make this a WMU thing. This is a church thing. Let us engage. Let us help. Other ladies will want to get involved with you. Other ladies will want to join the party because you're making a difference for the glory of God. When our team kid is working and effectively motivated and inspired and encouraged and they're working well together, you know what? We're going to see other people want to join up to serve our children because it's contagious. There's excitement in moving heaven and earth for the glory of God and coming against Satan and his cronies and making disciples and doing evangelism. And when it's going well, there's nothing that it's exciting. Be a part of the solution, not the problem. Don't sit back like some of the people do and look for ways to complain and groan. Well, these are being overlooked. This is not happening. That didn't happen. Why ain't anybody doing this? Why'd we quit the van ministry? Why is nobody helping in this area? Why is this not happening? I don't need to use a lot of examples, because if I start using examples, they might be examples that we hear and we'll all start pointing fingers. But there are needs around us. Let's meet those needs. How are we doing it? How are you doing it? Are you complaining? This is the word that's used here, and it actually points back to the Exodus that we talked about. And if you're not coming on Wednesday night, I hope you'll come. We're looking at some historical psalms leading up to Thanksgiving and talk about being thankful and being glad and looking and seeing God's mercies. And on Wednesday nights, we've looked at that word complaining. And the people in the wilderness grumbling and complaining. We don't have enough food. We don't know where we're going. Were there not enough graves in Egypt that you brought us out here to be slaughtered by these Egyptians? These giants are too big. We can't overcome. The water's too deep. We got too many people. All and all and all. We hear it on and on and on and on and on. That's what happens here, this word complaining.
But there was a quick solution. Be part of the solution and not the problem. That's what deacons do. They find solutions. Now, we can sit around and kick something to death. Let's not kick it to death. These apostles didn't sit around and say, man, let's just sit and think about it. Let's have a meeting. Let's bring it before the church. Let's continue to have another meeting. Let's get a committee. This is what we need to do. This is how we're going to do it. And they did it. And all of a sudden, they were glorified. They were unified, and the people were giving praise, and people were adding, and they were growing. Serving maintains focus. And that's part of the same thing. It makes the mission clear. It keeps us focused for the glory of God, word of prayer, making disciples, evangelism. Serving maximizes growth. And that's what we're... This was the last one. It maximizes growth in that. Look at the last verse. It says, and the word of God continued to increase, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem. And a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. When I say serving maximizes growth, I guess my mic's going out. I don't mean that it maximizes the number of people, which it probably did, but it also, the people became more mature in the faith because there was proper teaching. There was proper preaching. They were, and in the form of the early church, they would go around to different areas helping people know what it meant to follow Jesus. A lot of this was brand new. So there had to be teaching in certain areas. There was traveling. There was evangelism. And these men here that would be appointed, it was interesting about this text, is they were part of the ones that were being neglected. They were the Greek-speaking Jews. If you look at their names, so in reaching the solution, they looked at seven men, and they were of the nationality and of they were from the different group of the widows that were being overlooked. They were the ones that were a little bit more involved in this culture among the Greeks that didn't just speak, that were Greek-speaking. So they didn't just speak Aramaic and Hebrew. They were ones that were able to best cater to their widows. It was a masterful, full of the Spirit and wisdom, good reputation. It was a great, great solution. And that's what they found here. So serving maximizes growth. And so let's conclude with this. So we said that you're a huge support to me, Brother Kenny. You're huge. You're to be servants to the church, and you're to be witnesses to the world. And you're to be out front in things like ministry, evangelism, outreach, witnesses to the world. You know, our deacons and guys, I'm telling you, that's why we really think the Lord wanted me to start doing our evangelism and outreach after our deacons meeting, because you guys set the bar for the church when it comes to outreach and care for our church and visitations in hospitals, ministering to the saints and to the needs. You guys set the bar in that. And so you're to be a witness to the world in that. The importance of unity cannot be overstated. The Lord cannot work effectively in a church that is at civil war. Baptists are notorious for their fights, and deacons are noted for being the center of controversy. I remind you, you were elected to solve problems, not create them. As a result of what happens here, may the pastor have an assistant, the congregation have a servant, and the world have a witness. Church, pray for your deacons. Encourage your deacons. And lastly, follow their leadership. Support them. They have no authority except that which is given to them by the church. Don't follow them blindly, but when they offer a proposal, you should give it prayerful and careful consideration. Some of God's gifts to the church and His gifted leaders, our church is blessed to have deacon body that loves and serves Him as well as the congregation. Our duty is to pray for them, encourage them, and follow them. We see the power of God going forth, the word of the Lord going forth on ministry of prayer, and you see great growth starting to happen. A solution took place of a problem that could have festered and split the church. I want to pray for us, and then I'm going to call Kenny down here, and we're going to have a time where I'm going to call him to make a commitment, a vows of ordination, and I'm going to call the church to make a commitment, and then we're going to pray for Kenny and have laying on of hands. Brother Kenny, if you would come and stand, or if you would come.
stand right here with me. I'm going to ask you to make a commitment here. And we've talked to Brother Gibbs. He's my friend right here, y'all. I love this guy. I'm thankful for him. And you have been a huge blessing to our church, man, just coming in. And we had to make him, we had to, you know, our policies say that you have to come in and be a part of us a year before you teach. But we could tell Brother Kenny right off the bat he had a heart for the Lord and he loved his family. And we knew where he came from, so we knew, we felt like he had good doctrine and theology. And it didn't take us but a year, and we plugged him in a teaching position and a servant position. And we're thankful for you. So, Kenny, just standing before the congregation here, do you believe the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments as originally given to be the inerrant Word of God, the only infallible rule of faith and practice? Do you accept the office of deacon in this church and promise faithfully to perform all the duties thereof and to endeavor by the grace of God to adorn the profession of the gospel in your life and to set forth a worthy example before the church of which God has made you a deacon?
Yes.
And do you promise to strive for the purity, peace, unity, and edification of the church?
Yes.
Okay. Great. Congregation. Do you, the members of this church, acknowledge and receive this brother as a deacon? And do you promise to yield him all the honor and encouragement in the Lord to which his office, according to the Word of God and the Constitution of this church, entitles him? You do. Okay. Brother Kenny, if you'll just hang tight right here one second. We're going to have you. We're not going to, used to, we had you kneel down, but we're not going to have you hit your knees. But we do want you to sit right here. And this is a time of the laying on of hands, y'all. This is a special time. A lot of times it was for blessings and authority. You saw it with Joseph, when they would bless the sons of Israel and they would lay his hands on them. And you also saw it with Moses passing the leadership on to Joshua. They had laying on of hands. And we hear about laying on of hands in 1 Timothy 5 and the book of Hebrews. And it's symbolic in the sense of where we're praying for God's blessing and also anointing on him as we have seen God set him apart for a specific task of serving our church family. And so we're asking that all ordained deacon, as Miss Pam's going to play a little time of song, and this is just a time of prayer. We're asking for you to be praying, and this is a time for our brothers in the Lord to come by and extend a hand of fellowship and a word of encouragement to Brother Kenny. Miss Debbie, we love you and the girls, and we're so thankful. I did see where at times we would have the family come up. But in this case, we're going to let y'all stay right there, and I'm sure you're perfectly okay with that. And we're going to have Brother Kenny come up. So if all of our ordained men would come down and line up over here and just encourage him. Encourage him as you were encouraged as ordained men came and prayed for you. And also pray for him. And church, commit to pray for Brother Kenny and our deacon body. So I'm going to pray for us, and then if you would line up right here, and after that, Brother Don's going to come up and present him a certificate, and we're going to close in prayer. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your many blessings. We're thankful for this time of commitment, and this time to look into your Word and just see how it speaks, of Lord, to all of our life and circumstances, but also to the important things of church and relationships. And Lord, we're thankful for that blood-bought family of believers, the bride of Christ, the holiness, the purity that you call us to. And Lord, we know that we need proper leadership. And we're thankful for you raising up godly men to serve our church family. And not only just through management and through facilities and menial tasks, but also in areas of leadership, God, in areas of wisdom and insight and prayer. And so we're thankful for Brother Kenny and Debbie and God, Abby and Amelia and Anna, God, and their families. And God, we pray your blessings on them. We pray that Kenny would take it seriously and commit to you and to his family. And Lord, just serve this church faithfully. And Lord, I know that he is have a heart to be a part of the solution and look for answers to guide us and purpose and focus, God. And so thank you so much. Bless this time of laying on of hands, and may we be an encouragement. May we bathe him in prayer and these deacons, the deacon body, in prayer. We love you and we're thankful for Christ and Lord, him purchasing us with his blood. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.